Blog Talk Radio.
From the traitor state of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show as a means to tell all you liberals out there that you are wrong and we are right. My name is Kathy Henners, and you're listening to Hour One of the show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this great nation with Obama and his minions. We're showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through conservativenationmedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
Well, folks, we are in a nation that's going insane, folks. We have a woman who was Secretary of State when September 11th happened in Benghazi, and we had four Americans, including an ambassador, killed by terrorists, and warnings have been given. Our people in Benghazi had asked for help weeks before this. And then Hillary was confronted on it afterwards, and she had the audacity to cry out, what difference at this point does it make? Well, apparently it means nothing to have four Americans under her watch murdered because she is being primed to run for president again by the Democrat Party. But I have to say, if Americans vote for her into the White House, then we are stupider than I would have ever given us credit to be. We were pretty damn stupid to vote BHO into the White House, and we did that twice. So what are we thinking? Why don't we do what is right for the saving of this great nation? I can't answer that, folks, because it makes me wonder what we are doing here. And when I think of it, it just almost makes me have to wrap my head in duct tape, as Glenn Beck says. We are being completely stupid as we chose to listen to the GOP hierarchy, which is pretty much exactly the same thing as the liberal elite in Washington, D.C. They have nothing in it for them, who have nothing in it for them to save this nation. And we have not listened to the ones who are working hard to save this country for our future and our children, too. So when are we going to wake up? You are listening to this episode of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding, and we are glad you are here on this May the 24th of 2014. We are glad you are here today and know that you will be hearing some good stuff to help save America. Welcome to the show. I forgot to download my next song a little bit, I think. One of these days I'll get everything going, and heck, I'll have a show that will have no mistakes in it, and then all heck will probably break loose. But like I said, you are listening to this episode of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm your host, Robert Garding. President Obama on Wednesday expressed outrage about the allegations of misconduct of veterans of hospitals. He said that people in the VA, including Secretary Eric Shinseki, Shinseki, could be punished if investigations revealed wrongdoing, but he wasn't fired. Shinseki wasn't. Obama says, I will not stand for it. Goes on and says, and quote, not as commander-in-chief, but also as an American. None of us should. Well, I'll take that with a grain of salt, because that man hates America. He will only show this kind of ire for everything when he gets caught. When he gets caught doing what shouldn't be done, then he has to make sure that he saves his butt for all of this. And that's all he is doing here. He also said, once we know the facts, I assure you, if there was misconduct, people will be punished. Yeah, right. We know there was misconduct. We know what was going on, yet no one has been punished. Obama continues, I'm going to be waiting to see what the results to all this review process reveals. I don't know yet how systemic this is. Is this just an the stomach problem. So while he's waiting, he's going on his vacations. Obama said that Shinseki had been effective at reducing homelessness among the veterans and expanding benefits for disabled veterans. But, quote, I said it to him today, I want to see what the results of these reports are and where this is going to be, and there is going to be accountability, unquote. Obama is normally far more supportive of his people under the bus today. Problem is that Obama is talking about waiting for results, entirely reasonable theory in theory, but the hounds are baying. He doesn't seem to understand the urgency people feel that something, someone needs to deal with the issue in some way, not just sit back and wait for the results to come in. By then it will be too late. Hell, folks, it's already too late. Something should have been done when Obama first heard about this, which was that night, I guarantee you. But here is the way I see it, folks. Obama, what he wants to see, he will not admit to himself or to us that he's been wrong 95% of the time when it comes to things he is supposed to be doing to help this country. The unemployment numbers that have come out lately show that the real unemployment numbers are nowhere near the 5.9% that I heard the other day on the radio news. I know this for a fact, but I think that Obama is working to cook the books on that one so that the unemployment numbers are where they were when Bush left office or even lower. That will save his bacon. Not. That is what his goal is here, and he and his government are working to bring the numbers down by finding Americans work, mind you, but by cooking the numbers so they are artificially lower than they really are. And the real numbers, probably close to 13%, if that low. And the recession that Obama and his regime told us several years ago that we have come out of, no other president in history would have been able to tell that and get away with such a bald-faced lie. We all know it's not true, yet no one has confronted Obama on that one, just like no one confronts him on any other issues that have plagued his regime, almost like everyone thinks he will realize it sooner or later. Folks, he knows. He just won't admit it. Period. We have to know that unemployment, like everything else that is plaguing the Obama regime, is going in the opposite direction that he needs them to be. It's going in the opposite direction that he needs them to be going, and yet they are not important enough to him to do anything realistic about it except lie. Just like he lies about everything else. I truthfully do not think that he has a truthful bone in his body. The VA is another good one. Obama has tried to tell us that he didn't know anything about it, and that if he finds out that the allegations where we are all hearing is true, he will do something about it. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. He is telling us that he is mad as hell, mad, that this is becoming an issue while he is still president, so no one else can be blamed for it. Don't let him fool you. It is nothing more than that. He is acting like a petulant child who got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. And if we happen to yank his hand out of that cookie jar and slam the cookie thing shut and tell him, no cookies for you, we're being racist. He knew about it, folks. He has known about everything that has gone wrong with his presidency. If he didn't, then he is one pitch poor president, which he is. But that should tell the people that are still supporting him that he is a piss poor president and doesn't even deserve to be in the office he holds. Yet, that is what a president has a cabinet for, so that he can know everything that is needed to be known. Most can handle that much information. But I think Obama is not smart enough to be able to handle it, and he doesn't blame elsewhere, or he hems and haws about it. He should be known as the lying president, because that's all he has done. He hasn't told us the truth about anything except for one thing. And that one thing was before he became president, he told us that because of his policies on cap and trade, energy prices would necessarily skyrocket. And nobody listened to him when he told the truth there. told the truth, because energy prices have skyrocketed. And now they're talking about how energy prices for housing heating this coming winter is going to be so atrocious that what are we going to do when that portion of the predictions comes true, when none of us can afford to heat our own houses? Are we going to start burning wood, make fireplaces so we can burn wood so the government can then start fining us for cutting down trees? Or so the government can start to raise the prices on wood because it's now a fuel? Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they will do. And as long as we let the government get away with this bull crap that is going on, it's going to continue. And we're going to get screwed, lock, stock, and barrel all the way down the pike. And sooner or later, it's going to happen enough that we're going to finally wake up and say, now, wait a minute, we got to get these people out of office now, if not sooner. And if we finally realize that, and we finally realize it with still a little bit of our country left, maybe we might be able to save this country. We don't know, but it just may. Can always hope, anyway, for our children. We've been telling you that conservativenationmedia.com is making some big changes. And they started on May 6th. That's when Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance moved to Tuesday. Tennessee's issues are spreading out all over America, and Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Tuesday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee on Tuesdays, May 6th, on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And hello, exceptional conservative show. Glad to see you here. Sometimes we get good news that warms the heart, and I think that this is one of these stories. Is from Girls Just Want to Have Guns, comes this one about a 105-year-old man being honored finally. Story of a Sir Nicholas Winton. It's one of the most profound tale of humanitarianism that you've probably ever heard. After saving 669 children, most of them Jewish, from likely death at the Nazi concentration camps at the onset of World War II, it was announced Monday on Winton's 105th birthday that the heroic Englishman will be awarded the Order of the Lion, White Lion, the highest order of the Czech Republic, the Associated Press reported. In the official announcement, Czech President Miloš Zeman, noted Winton's example of humanity, selflessness, personal bravery, and modesty as reasons for the prestigious honor, which is pretty cool, because he finally got honored for something he did so many ago, and at least he's still alive. But it says here that in December 1938, Winton gave up a vacation as a London-based stockbroker to travel to politically turbulent Prague, according to The Guardian. He was curious to see firsthand what was happening to refugees in what was then Czechoslovakia. Nazis had recently invaded the country, and Winton sensed the grave danger refugees were then facing. He wasn't an elected official or anything like that, a high-ranking member of the British military, or even someone with a significant background in charitable work. He was just a man who was concerned about what could be going on. And he made one of the most impactful single-handed efforts to save children from mass genocide. He created advertisements for foster homes. He manipulated paperwork to sidestep government and red tape that would have gotten in his way, CBS News reported. He even persuaded to go along with his plans. Continuing his efforts from his home in London for the next 9 months, Winton coordinated 8 train evacuations of 669 children from Czechoslovakia to Britain, saving them from almost certain death. For decades, his heroic efforts went completely or largely unnoticed until 1988, and that was still quite a while ago, when a BBC program surprised him by planning an emotional reunion with several of the survivors he saved. So with all things considered, turning 105 years old on May 19th, which is also my brother's birthday, might have been at least the least of Winton's achievements. Celebrated his landmark birthday with about 100 guests in attendance, many of whom were our offspring of the children who Winton rescued in 1939. According to The Guardian, there are roughly 6,000 people around the world that owe Winton their lives, and I'm not really sure how they came to that one, but that's quite a number if you think about it. We will be right back after these messages.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase, Molon LeVay, which translated means, come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
You are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com and the Newswise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Garding. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. We've all heard now how Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are nothing more than just race baiters who will raise hell when things don't go get their way. But let a white person win or a Christian win, and then it is Katie bar the door because the race baiter extraordinaires are on the pulpit. And you guessed it, I have one from the hate-filled man who hates everything but everyone but himself. Al Sharpton's history of hate is so voluminous and well-documented. Where does one even begin? The time he disparaged Jews as diamond merchants during the unrest, the infamous Crown Heights riots, or when Sharpton tried goading New York City's Jewish community into an all-out fist fight, saying, if the Jews want to get it on, tell them to pin their yarmulks back and come over to my house. How about referring to the Jewish owner of Freddie's Fashion Mart, Fred Harari, as a white interloper for seeking to expand his business in Harlem? You may have heard of Freddie's. It was also known as the Harlem Massacre. One of Sharpton's followers also disapproved of interloper and burned the store to the ground, murdering 8 people, including himself. Those tirades were just Sharpton's anti-Semitic ones. He's also sermonized on Greek homos and crackers, as well as bombarded former New York City David Dinkins with a barrage of N-bombs. So if you're Sharpton and you're confronted about some of your, quote, greatest hits, unquote, what do? Scoff at the questioning and argue that one of your notorious racial slurs wasn't in fact a slur because it was meant for just one Jewish individual? No, seriously, that was Sharpton's defense. On the night of the glitzy Washington Correspondents' Dinner, Daily Surge publisher Jason Matera asked the fake civil rights leader if he should be banned from television, quote, in the spirit of Donald Sterling, unquote, for all of the, quote, racist stuff, unquote, he said over the years. Sharpton recalled threatened boycotts and protests of the National Basketball Association to ban Sterling from the league. If you can believe it, Sharpton challenged Matera to produce evidence of racism. And when that evidence was produced easily, in this case, him calling Fred Harary a white interloper and David Dinkins a N-word, Sharpton ignored the shot at Dinkins, but ridiculously claimed that white interloper didn't rise to the level of racism because it was directed at only one Jew, not the neighborhood of them. Can you imagine what he would do if somebody else did that? Especially if they're not black or some minority somewhere. Say if it was me and I walked out there and said that and Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton were there. I'd get excoriated over that. But not him. He just looked at the guy who was talking to him and said, when did I call Jews white interlopers? And he demanded that. Matera reminded Sharpton of Freddie's fashion mark and followed up with, quote, it doesn't take some serious balls on your end to accuse somebody of racism. Sharpton blustered back, from one guy who paid people off the books and was wrong, before the Reverend rambled on about the lies and distortions as though he's been misinterpreted all these years. Of course, splitting hairs over anti-Semitic comments is probably not the best position to find oneself in, which is exactly the position that Al Sharpton always finds himself in. One guy. In any event, who knows how many Jews Al Sharpton had in mind. When an audio tape surfaced of him disparaging Mr. Harary, his initial reaction was, what's wrong with denouncing white interlopers? Sharpton eventually gave one of those half-hearted apologies, a bloodbath ensued at Freddy's after all, and then carried on with his profession of stoking racial strife. As idiotic as Darnell Sterling's comments were, they were still said in private. Sharpton, on the other hand, are always delivered for the public consumption, always delivered out in public. And not only has Sharpton been rewarded with his own primetime television show on MSNBC, he's a frequent guest to the White House, and Obama officials headline his National Action Network conference. Recently, the Los Angeles chapter of the NAACP honored Sharpton with their Person of the Year Award, an accolade that was originally slated to be given to, now wait for it, Donald Sterling. Can you imagine the hell that would have broke loose if that had ever happened? We will return after these messages. Well, no, wait, we won't. I think I've already, well, no, yes, here it is, Tom.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here.
Nope.
Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face.
I already played that. I'm sorry. That was just wrong of me. I guess I've got too many things on my mind talking about Sharpton and and Jesse Jackson, the way that, you know, and the things that they do and the things that they accuse other people of when they're right in there doing exactly the same thing to everybody, and it's never racism when they do it. Never. And you can't even convince them, even when you show them proof, like what happened with Jason Matera, when, you know, when he was asked by Sharpton, when did I ever do that? Well, Matera showed him. Matera played him audios of him saying that. That still didn't get through to him. It would get through to 99% of the people. Even some of the liberal ones. But it doesn't get through to Sharpton. I think that his brain is just wired a different way. Excuse me. I think he's wired to the point where anything that is said against someone that he supports is racist, wrong, and the person who does it should be chastised for it. But when he does exactly the same thing, that's a different story here. He's not racist. He's not against anybody. Hell, he's against everybody who isn't him. That's just the way he is. And the problem with that is because the media will follow him like a lost puppy. He shows up in somewhere where he's got a microphone in front of his face and the media is going to be there. They're going to expose what he's saying, and not in the way that we would want it to be exposed. But they will praise him for what he's doing. They will say the things that would praise what he's doing. And why this is allowed is beyond me. Nobody ever stops and says, now wait a minute. This can't continue. We are destroying this nation at a rate that has never been before. And nobody seems to care. Well, I take that back. The people care. The problem is we still keep electing these kind of people into office. We've got Obama in the White House. We've got Harry Reid in the Senate. We've got Nancy Pelosi. All of these people do exactly the same thing, maybe not to the same degree as maybe Sharpton does, but they do it. With Sharpton, it's just Katie bar the door for everybody. If they're not friends of his, then they are an enemy. And he will make sure that the media will ruin them in any way he can. And if he knew about me and talked and knew what I think about him, he'd come after me too. That's where I think I'm kind of lucky, because I do a small internet radio show that has at best a small following. I really wished it was more, but I think that's one of the things that keeps me from being put in the limelight and getting hit with some of the racism comments that Sharpton loves to throw around at everybody. And until that happens, I'm going to continue doing it because it's the truth. We have a complete double standard here where the country, if you're white or Christian or conservative, there is a certain set of rules that you've got to follow according to the left. If you're not any of those things, then you're given more leeway. You can do things that conservative Christian people cannot. And they even go after black conservative Christians. How insane is this? It just shows everybody exactly where their mindset is and how they don't care what goes on in this country just so long as it's exactly what they need to be doing, according to them. We'll be right back after these messages.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Military is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Military offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. And you're listening to the conservativenationmedia.com with the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. And I'm your host, Robert Garding. Our call number is call-in number is 718-205-7176 if you want to join the fun. Democratic Florida Representative Joe Garcia, fresh off being caught eating his own earwax on camera, was caught red-handed or yellow-fingered in another gap this week, claiming that low crime rates in border cities with lots of federal immigration workers is proof that communism works. Yeah. Garcia made the comment during a Google Hangout he convened last week to talk about comprehensive immigration reform with supporters. The Democrat attempted to point out how, for all their talk about limited government, many Republicans are fine spending loads of government money on border security. And he goes on to say, quote, let me give you an example of the kind of money we've poured in. So the most dangerous, the safest city in America is El Paso, Texas. It happens to be across the border from the most dangerous city in the Americas, which is Juarez, right? And he goes on to say, and two of the safest cities in America, two of them are on the border with Mexico, Garcia continued. And of course, the reason is we've proved that communism works. If you give everybody a good government job, there's no crime. Some of the thinking that comes out of these guys just blows me away. But it isn't that isn't what we should be doing on the border, he continued, the kind of money we've poured into it and we're having diminishing returns. A video was uploaded to YouTube by an American Rising PAC, a Republican PAC founded in 2013 and dedicated to the opposition research. It's also the same group that originally uploaded Garcia's earwax snafu. Garcia, who is of Cuban descent, along with many of his South Florida constituents, told the Miami Herald he never meant to espouse communism and was instead taking a tongue-in-cheek shot at his GOP opponents. Isn't that what they always say when they get caught saying something that they shouldn't say? The problem is what they say when they say it like that is what's really in their mind. They just accidentally let it slip out. And that's all it was, is he just accidentally let it slip out. He says, let me give you an example, the kind of, oh wait, I'm wrong here. But he goes on to say about this, that this is an absurdity, accusing the son of a Cuban immigrant of believing in communism. It's just ridiculous, he declared. Now, it seems that no matter how many times the Democrats and their policies are proven that they don't work, we will always get another idiot who will try to tell you that their form of government is what works because there are border towns somewhere that have low crime, probably in Texas, where the famous Sheriff Joe handles it, and as the Democrats come down on him for doing it. Yet when it comes to low crime in some of his areas, they will definitely take credit for that by saying that shows that their favorite form of government, socialism or communism, works. Folks, we have to realize that every once in a while, one of those leftists will actually come out and speak the truth about what they feel. Representative Joe Garcia of Florida did have one of those lucid moments when he spoke the other day. Aren't we so lucky to be able to hear them speak the truth about what they really want once in a while? But the thing that really sends my head into spasms of blowing up is the fact that these idiots get away with saying things like this and no one in the room calls them on their stupidity. Why is that? It's something that I don't understand. I know they know when to, I guess it's because they know when to say these patently stupid things. They will say them when they know they are in a room full of liberal lemmings of the media who will not question what is being said to them. That way, when someone finally does call them on it, they have moved on to the next whopper that they're going to tell or they're planning to tell, and they pay what is being asked of them no mind. They don't care. They got away with it. They got away with saying said stupid thing. And time, no one said a thing about it. No. So that just means they got away with it. They are only saying something now because they are feeling sour grapes that we are sorry that we didn't say it in the first place. Oh, brother, my friend, no wonder this country is in so much trouble. We need to be able to get people in the media that will actually question what is going on, not just when someone they don't agree with is saying something, like that one person who years ago yelled at President Bush and called him a liar, or that one lady who threw a shoe at him. It needs to go both ways. It can't just go the one way and expect everything to change, because it won't. It'll continue going down the direction it's going now and will continue to get worse and worse for us and for our children and for their children. The ones who are waging war on children are not the Republicans, although some of the Republicans are doing exactly the same thing by wanting to spend more and more money when it isn't needed. But what we need to start doing is pulling back, watching what's going on, and questioning when we see something going on that is wrong, that will hurt this country instead of keeping our mouths shut and being afraid to say anything because we're afraid we're going to be called a racist or something like that. The problem is that when they get away with that, they're just like a child. You let a child get away with something that it's wrong and they shouldn't be doing it, their little minds will sit there and think, well, I got away with it. That means it must be okay. There is our problem. We've got little children in Washington, D.C. who have decided that since we don't say anything against what this attitude in Washington, D.C., and when somebody finally does say something about it, they've learned Washington speak that tells them exactly how to answer the question without answering the question so it satisfies the people, and they can go on with doing what they're doing. Like I said, it's no darn wonder that this country is in so much trouble and continuing to head down that wrong path until the people start doing something and finally stopping these politicians. And when they finally do try and stop them, don't let them hoodwink them into thinking that the answer is going to help, because it isn't. Friendly local pilot in command and GOP calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. From Breitbart.com came this one, and I love it when things don't work out the way liberals want them to. A Durham, North Carolina restaurant had a sign on its front door, and that front door read, "No weapons, no concealed firearms." Well, this place was robbed at gunpoint on May 19th, and GunsAndFreedom.com published a photograph of the sign on May 21st, making the Pit restaurant a self-declared gun-free zone, the same kind of zone Michael Bloomberg and Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America pressure other restaurants into becoming. According to Durham's ABC 11, around 9 p.m., three men wearing hoodies entered the restaurant through the back doors with pistols and forced several staff members to lie on the floor. The armed men also assaulted two employees during the crime. Suspects are still on the loose. When Chipotle announced their intended gun ban by saying the sight of law-abiding citizens carrying guns caused customers anxiety and discomfort, Breitbart News responded with a simple question. If law-abiding citizens cause customers anxiety and discomfort, what will those customers feel when a criminal enters Chipotle? Now confident that no victim in the restaurant is allowed to have a gun, which would allow them to fight back. Question. Like I said, don't you just love it when things don't work out the way the libs want them to? I know. I do. And, you know, maybe they should have put a sign on the back door. That would have stopped it. Sure as heck, that sure would have stopped it, I'm sure. We will be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electro-synth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on The Michael Behrman Show. Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Okay, you are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com and the New Wives Conservatism Radio Show. And I'm, again, Robert Garding. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. And the rush to get the names out there, one name that just doesn't seem to go away, and I'm one that is glad of that. Sarah Palin this week had something to say. And since it was a beautiful conservative woman who said it, the media looked the other way and didn't report it much. If this had been Al Sharpton or Harry Reid, they would have tripped all over their own feet to get the story out. But this one sits on the back burner because the media doesn't feel it's worth reporting on. Why? Because it is the truth, and it comes from a female conservative, something that should tell us that we need to listen. On Friday, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin blasted President Barack Obama and Democrats for their disgusting treatment of veterans while they rolled out the red carpet for illegal immigrants. President Obama has hinted at more executive actions to ease deportations while Senate Democrats are pushing for sweeping amnesty legislation along with establishment Republican leaders in the next 6 weeks. Compliance with these un-American acts in this Obama era deserve the scorn of citizens. We will do all we can do, all we can to oust those who follow the Obama Pelosi Reid lead on disgusting treatment of our military and red carpet treatment of their law-breaking chosen ones, Palin said, who also said that any politician siding with this tragic reality is unfit for office. That on her Facebook page, Palin linked to a column by conservative columnist Michelle Malkin, who has been one of the most relentless critics of illegal immigration for decades, in which Malkin wrote that, quote, a government that fails to secure its borders is guilty of dereliction of duty, unquote. The government that fails to care for our men and women on the front lines is guilty of malpractice. A government that puts the needs of illegal aliens above U.S. veterans for political gain should be prosecuted for criminal neglect bordering on treason. After giving numerous examples from coast to coast of illegal immigrants receiving taxpayer-funded benefits and straining the budgets of state and local governments even more, Malkin thunderously wrote, America, medical and welfare welcome mat to the rest of the world while leaving its best and bravest veterans to languish in hospital lounges, die waiting for appointments and compete for jobs and educational opportunities against illegal border crossers, violators, and deportation evaders. Shame on us. That last line there says it all, and it is a line that we should all look at and take to heart. We should be ashamed of ourselves for allowing Washington, D.C. to hoodwink all of us the way they do. And it isn't going to stop as long as we allow them to do it. Am I right? Or am I right? There's actually no wrong side on that one, unless you take the other side. We need to start being serious with what politicians in Washington and all over this nation are saying and hold them accountable for what they say and what they do. Obama has told lie after lie, and he's still in the White House with 40% popularity. Why is that? His popularity should be at a minus 50%. Of course, that is impossible, but it should be at least zero. And because it isn't that, just goes to show that the American people have not fully awoken yet. I hope that time comes soon, because we need everyone watching what is going on in our capital. Because if we don't, my friends, the worst is yet to come, and we haven't seen anything yet. But it seems like we have somebody on my blog at wiseconservatism.com yesterday actually put a comment after a blog post that I did called Our Post-Constitutional America. And in this comment, this person wrote, if I can find it here, I had to stop and think about this for a little bit, try and figure out what in the heck this person was trying to get across, although you can just read what the heck they said, and there it was. But this person actually said, in big, bold letters, I can find this here. Nope, I don't see it now. I'm sure I didn't get rid of the darn thing. But what they said was, Obama has been the best president that we have had in ages. Thing he does, 100%. He has saved this country from complete destruction with his actions. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing everything he can to save America. And I looked at that thing, and I said, what? How can people be that stupid? How can people be that? Why is it that people like that? Well, actually, the question on that one should be is, these people breed. These people vote. No wonder we are in trouble. And then we have somebody like Michelle Malkin writing that we should be ashamed of ourselves for allowing Washington, D.C. to hoodwink us all the way they do. That we should be ashamed of us because we allow this kind of thing. But it continues. It goes on and on and on, and it doesn't seem to have any stop. I've got a black conservative friend who lives down in Texas who writes a blog. She is so frustrated right now that it's not funny, because it seems like every time we have something maybe go a little bit our direction, the left pushes back and pushes a lot in the other direction, and we allow it. It is frustrating. It's always been frustrating. But the problem that we have before us, folks, is the fact that this has been going on for decades. It's not going to stop overnight. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep listening to what they're saying. We have to keep questioning what they're doing on both sides of the aisle, because the Republicans do it too. We get John McCain and Lindsey Graham, and they'll say exactly the same things as a Democrat does, but because they've got an R in front of their name or behind their name, the left won't attack. They will use them. in their little directive saying that, well, some Republicans agree with us. We must be doing the right things. The only problem is that when you're not trying to save this country and you're not trying to follow the Constitution, every once in a while you will fall back and actually say something that makes some sense. Trouble is, 99% of the time, that is a mistake. You didn't really mean to say that kind of thing. Whereas we have people like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Sarah Palin who live and fight and work to save our Constitution and our constitutional republic. And they get pushed under the bus. They get run over. They get labeled traitors and terrorists, extremists who are doing nothing but hurting this country. I guess that's just the way it is. Until we stop and stop these people or vote them out of office, there's not much we can do. It's going to continue. It's going to keep going the direction it's going. Because it's easier to say, okay, let the government take care of us. Let's let the government do all this. Then we don't have to do it, and we can live our lives. The problem with that is government can't do it without us. If we're not working, which more and more out here are not, then the government is actually losing money because without us, the government has none. And all this high-handed talk about how they want to help people who are low income by giving them money and giving them things that will help them survive is all nothing more than that, just talk, because that talk without money, thing that is bringing the hopes of people up to something that will never happen. And sadly, it's coming from both ends of the aisle. Democrats are worse at it, but Republicans are right there with them, with the exception of a few. I've named them on my show: Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Trey Gowdy, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, although she's kind of dropped out of sight for a while, and I haven't heard anything from her in a long time. They are there. Those are the ones that need to be listened to, not the John McCain's, not the Lindsey Graham's, because they are not in it for America. They're in it for their own well-being and their own riches. And hello, Lady Michelle, good to see you here. So like I said, we haven't seen nothing yet, and we will be right back with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show here on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay tuned, and we'll see you on the backside of these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a It's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
From West Central Indiana, one of the few states that runs a budget in the black, comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show. Hi, I'm Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call to let you know that traditional Americans are still considered traitors in the Obama nation, and we're proud of our constitutional conservatism. Obama can't touch this. You're listening to Hour 2 of the show, and we're being broadcast to you through conservativenationmedia.com. And now, the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, your host, Robert Garding.
Hello again. I'm back. And from Harry Reid in his tweetosphere come these little gems where he tweeted, House Republicans must act on immigration. If they falsely believe Obama won't enforce it, then let's have the law take effect in 2017. And if Republicans don't trust President Obama to enforce a new immigration law, but give him a chance by implement it under President Cruz. If that sounds familiar, it's because Chuck Schumer floated the same idea back in February, minus the trollishly sarcastic reference to President Cruz. It's a clever way of calling Boehner's bluff when he complains that Republicans can't pass anything until Obama proves that he can't be trusted to faithfully execute new border security laws. And my phone line is sounding a little noisy today. I hope that's not causing any problems. No problem, say Reid and Schumer. We'll add a provision for the new law that says it doesn't take effect until January 20th. It solves your Obama problem in one fell swoop and leaves it to the next president. And if Republicans balk at that idea, Dems can point to it as proof that not only is the "we don't trust Obama" excuse bogus, but that the GOP evidently has little confidence that it'll be back in the White House in 2017. Beyond all that, Reid and Schumer know a dirty little secret about Republicans. Even if 2016 produced a huge red wave with Ted Cruz in the White House and GOP in charge of both houses of Congress, they wouldn't dare repeal an amnesty bill that passed this year. They might tweak it a little bit to further beef up security measures or extend the path to citizenship marginally. But there's no earthly way a party that's desperate to appeal to Latinos is going to pull the rug out from under them later by rescinding its big outreach gesture on immigration. And that's why I think Reid pointedly mentioned Cruz in his tweet. Even if you're right, he's got your dream candidate, saying he's going to let you down on amnesty, too. So why, if this is such a clever play, haven't Reid and Schumer been more insistent in pushing it over the last 3 months? Because I suspect their own base is too dumb and too impatient to back them up on it. They don't want to wait until 2017. These are the same people, remember, who've convince themselves that Obama is the deporter-in-chief, despite ample evidence to the contrary. The White House is sufficiently worried about losing them that O's on the brink of using executive action to soften DHS's deportation policy, a risky move that could shatter Boehner's hopes of passing an immigration bill for good. If amnesty's fans breathed into a paper bag and took a hard look at the political landscape, they'd see that everything's in their favor. And the electorate have left the GOP petrified of opposing reform indefinitely, In fact, I bet Reid and Schumer suspect that even if a bill passed now that delayed enforcement until 2017, Dems might be able to demagogue congressional Republicans later into agreeing to speed up implementation so that it begins sooner. If Democrats start pounding the table in late January 2016, screaming that legalization and coming out of the shadows simply can't wait another year to begin, how many Republicans would swallow hard, imagining a huge Latino backlash in November of that year if the GOP puts up a fight and agrees to go along? We all know this is exactly the truth. They will back off. For all the blather about conservatives tying Boehner's hands, soft-handed lefties who aren't as strategically sharp as Reid and Schumer are making their lives harder, too. In case there's any doubt of magnitude of Reid's trollishness of his tweets, here is his last year, his last year commenting on the new Wise Conservatism radio show. On this May the 24th of 2014, just like the first hour, I didn't upload my bumper that I was supposed to use at this point in time. So I must have really been out of it today, because neither one of my bumpers I downloaded. There, neither one here, and I had some good ones today. But c'est la vie. Sometimes the shenanigans of the left that make me want to wrap my head in duct tape so it doesn't blow up and fill the room with my brain just seems to come out of nowhere and just dash us with this reality that isn't a reality, but it is for the left. The stupidity from the left is something that we are beginning to expect. Well, actually, some of us have been expecting it for a long time. And we're never disappointed. But I have a little gem here that isn't said by a Democrat. It was said by a Republican. So hold on to your duct tape, folks. Freshman Congressman Doug LaMalfa, L-A-M-A-L-F-A, Republican of California, reported from the House floor on May 22nd that a group of Veteran Administration disability officers have filed federal whistleblower complaints and or sworn affidavits. The complaint stated that the Oakland, California VA has had a policy to secretly reject or limit disability claims, then reap bonuses known as payout savings incentives by posting savings to the government and taxpayers by denying these claims and these payments. Congressman LaMalfa said that veterans refer to the strategy as deny, delay, and wait until they die. LaMalfa recently authored and the House passed an amendment to H.R. 4301 requiring Veterans Affairs officers to regularly provide updates on the status of veterans' claims, regardless of whether the claims have been reassigned to different VA offices. Despite the current scandal of at least 40 disabled veterans dying because they could not get a doctor's appointment, LaMalfa believes the even bigger scandal is the disability adjudication process, where veterans face a nightmarish gauntlet before they can even hope to be added to the secret waiting list of a veteran's medical facility. According to LaMalfa, the published performance report of the Oakland VA states that they do not have any open claims older than 125 days. But he displayed photos taken by Oakland whistleblowers purporting to show that tens of thousands of disability applications are sitting on a cart or a janitor's closet or in a hallway by the director's office for years and even decades. In May 2013, I published a report was published disclosing that despite a 40% increase in the VA budget to $140 billion, and the paying of $194 million in annual bonuses, the Department of Veterans Affairs backlog of disability claims doubled and the claims outstanding for more than a year skyrocketed by 2,000% since 2008. At the same time, the average number of days they process to process a veteran's disability claim was 293 days. But the veterans filing for the first time in America's major population centers, delays of 642 days in New York, 619 days in Los Angeles, and 542 days in Chicago. Despite the published VA performance metric to complete all claim determinations in 125 days, 70% of the 900,000 VA claims reviews and processed were outstanding for more than 125 days. Those veterans waiting for more than a year for their benefits have grown from 11,000 in 2009 245,000 in December of 2013, and that's just horrible. LaMalfa produced at the House floor a number of signed statements from Oakland's employees that VA managers knew that the longer initial disability determinations take to process, the more likely the financial desperate veterans can be coerced to forego pursuing disability claims or accept lower disability payment awards. The signed affidavit demonstrates that Oakland VA management had reduced claim processing wait times to under 125-day performance metric by systematically denying the first-time claim filers. Several of the letters indicated that when employees had spoken out about correctable programs or problems, they were assigned, reassigned, and reprimanded. Congressman Doug LaMalfa and his staff have diligently focused on the VA shortcomings since he took office in January of 2013. They hope a growing number of VA employees willing to file whistleblowers' complaints and sign affidavits LaMalfa put into the congressional record today will end the practice of rewarding VA bureaucrats with bonuses for denying honorably earned disability claims. And when I found that, I was looking at that, and it just jumped out at me that doing the wrong thing. But upon reading this, I'm not sure if he was, but we have to kind of look at what's going on like we always are supposed to do and try and stop them when they're not doing the right things. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativesNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in Washington, D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opolisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opolisky, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi is blaming former President George W. Bush for the Veterans Administration scandal. But according to the VA's own numbers, she has the facts wrong. Pelosi never mentioned Bush by name at the press briefing Thursday, but she left no doubt as to whom she was talking about. She referred to the ramifications of some seed that were sown a long time ago when you have two wars over a long period and many, many more millions more veterans. Pelosi then blamed the VA scandal on the increase in veterans due to recent wars. She said, quote, "We go in a war in Afghanistan, leave Afghanistan for Iraq, and then with unfinished business in Afghanistan. 10 years later, we have all these additional veterans. In the past 5 years, 2 million more veterans needing benefits from the VA. That's a huge, huge increase," unquote. Actually, according to government statistics, there are far fewer veterans in the VA. According to the VA, the number of vets declined by 4.3 million from 2000 to 2013. Pelosi's claim, more money is the solution, just like they always do. Senator Jay Rockefeller, Democrat of West Virginia, said, quote, "If the VA does not have enough doctors to see patients, then these problems are a result of lack of funding," unquote. But spending on the VA actually tripled from 2010 to 2013. John Merlin of Investors Business Daily crunched the numbers and found the VA's budget has been exploding, even as the number of veterans steadily declined. Even more telling, wounded warriors coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan are not increasing treatment costs. Those vets are actually far cheaper to treat than aging vets. In fact, the cost of treating veterans from wars in Iraq and Afghanistan is almost half of what it would cost to treat other vets. A Congressional Budget Office report found that the younger vets cost $4,800 on average, and compared with $8,800 for other veterans who use the system. It also found that while Iraq and Afghanistan vets were account for 7% of patients treated, they were responsible for only 4% of the health costs. Iraq and Afghan vets, the report found, are typically younger and healthier than the average VHA patient, and as a result are less expensive, should we say. We will be right back. I ran just a little long on that one.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Well, I hope that the boss don't get mad about that when I downloaded the wrong one there. But today has been a really horrible day for me and trying to get this show put together. Things just were going on around the house that just really kept my mind off of what I was trying to do. Global warming, climate change, it's all the same for Democrats. It's just another way to force the American people to pay out the nose for something that can't be controlled by man. Either way, Dr. Savage blasted Canadian scientist David Suzuki for declaring on Bill Moyers' PBS program that global warming deniers should be jailed, noting that Suzuki has always looked like a car that needs a tune-up. Savage reserved most of his criticism from Warriors, who he called the Baggyite Bolshevik and the Republican Party. Savage says the GOP should have worked harder to defund the public broadcaster years ago. Savage played clips from the most offensive commencement speeches delivered this week by powerful Democrats and warned that their divisive class warfare rhetoric is alarmingly similar to the kind once heard in Hitler's Germany. When Hitler's great experiments were not going as fast as he wanted them to go, he created a scapegoat, the Jew. In our time, the scapegoats are white people and rich people, Savage continued. They are the new scapegoats for Obama's lies, scandals, and failures. The Veterans Affairs Administration is a modern embodiment of the death panel, Rush Limbaugh declared this week following the shocking revelations about the mistreatment of patients at VA hospitals. He goes on to say, you have 40 veterans on special waiting lists, and the government workers that pared that list down got a bonus for making the list shorter. How'd the list get shorter? Fewer people got on. How'd that happen? They died. Limbaugh can't understand why the president of all people seems not to know what is going on in the country until the latest scandal makes headlines. I have the instant solution for Obama's problem, quipped Limbaugh. All Barack Obama has to do is listen to 1 hour of the show program every day, and he'll know everything that's going on. Mark Levin also chimed in on it, called Harry Reid the Donald Sterling of the Senate, after Reid and other Democrats amped up their calls for the Washington Redskins to change their racist name to a less, the whole thing about the Washington Redskins being a racist name that offends everyone. I've never met anybody who that offended. I've heard about them because of Harry Reid. The Democrats have done nothing to fix minority unemployment, but are using the Redskins controversy to paint themselves as anti-racist champions. It's another American tradition with the presidents that the president seems uncomfortable with. Levin marked Obama's inability to competently throw out the first pitch at a baseball game, even after all these years in office. Levin offered to teach the president how it's done for the sake of the nation. Even Laura Ingraham got in on it on Tuesday. Laura and her guest Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform argued furiously about immigration reform. Ingraham called Norquist a whiner, and when he tried to change the subject, Ingraham why she was so critical of Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, who she calls a pro-amnesty billionaire robber baron. You can be a populist without being snotty at people who have been successful and done stuff, Norquist chided the host. Ingram's other guests this week included physician and author Ben Carson and Major League Baseball coach Mookie Wilson. When Beck even got in, I said, can we save the country? The answer is no, Beck said. The country has to want to save itself. And that's the one thing that I've been trying to bring up. This country can't be saved until the people want to save it. And that's just putting the cart before the horse there. Something that needs to be done, or the horse before the cart, it's something that needs to be done. If we want to save this country for our children and for other things, we have to be able to want to save it. Because we are the country. He was reacting to Tea Party favorite Mark Bevin's loss to Mitch McConnell in Kentucky Republican primary. Beck added that perhaps politics was far too big. The answer is not there. And instead, the key to America's future might lie in the individual. Yeah, that is where America's future lies, in the individual. The individual people have to stand up and start realizing that this country will continue down the tube and down the toilet as long as we allow the politicians that are there to continue to stay there. Ed Schultz announced the cancellation of his low-rated show, radio show this week, and Beck on his on-air team couldn't contain their delight. They reminded listeners that Schultz had continuously vowed to bring down Rush Limbaugh, another conservative talk radio host. Now they joke Schultz should be up, should give up broadcasting once and for all and become a Kmart greeter. Ooh. Now you can't get bigger names than some of those listed in this story, and yet the liberals still believe we are all going to die because of global warming, and only more money from everyone will save us. That is such a bunch of malarkey that I just can't even understand why anybody would believe it. I can remember back in the 1970s, we were being told that by the time the year 2000 came around, Earth would be uninhabitable. Everyone would die. No one would be here because air wouldn't be here to sustain us. It would be too dirty to sustain us. Well, here we are 14 years later, still here. The air seems nice and clean, at least where I'm at. And pictures of L.A., I remember back in the 70s, the pictures of L.A., you never saw blue sky in those pictures. It was always brown. Now you see blue sky. But they're never happy. They never get what they want because they're always after more. And the more they're after is our money. And the only way they can get our money is to hoodwink us into believing that what they are doing is for us. When it's not, it's for them to get the money, to get the power, to make it when nothing could be farther from the truth. This nation has gone so far down since Obama took over that 25 years ago, if I'd have told you that this was going to happen in 6 years, nobody would have believed me. Nobody would have believed that people would allow this to happen and not do anything about it, even though it was happening back then too, but not to the degree it is now, saving this country before there is not a country left to save. And that's just plain common sense. If we keep allowing this country to keep getting torn down by the administration that's in the White House right now, and the people who are under him in Washington, D.C., are allowed to continue this tearing down process, soon there isn't going to be anything to tear down or build back up. That's just common sense. You can only tear things down so much before there's nothing left to tear down. And once there's nothing left to tear down, there's nothing left to build back up again either. We will be right back after these important messages on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. That's just what I've been saying. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn your world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot People, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from emergency food supplies and patriotic gear that you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Go, Caleb! Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Well, ConservativeNationMedia.com. You're listening to the New Whites Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Garding. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. Earlier this last week, First Lady Michelle Obama urged school children to, and this was urged her school children to monitor their parents for racially insensitive comments because federal laws can only go so far in stopping racism. But we don't have any racially insensitive incidents against African Americans to report at this time. Mrs. Obama can assist us with the insensitive and racist actions taken by organizers of annual white privilege conference held in Madison, Wisconsin. According to Progressives Today, when the white student reporter attempted to enter a workshop being held at the conference, he was escorted out of the area because of his race. Because his race was too offensive to other participants, and the majority of them were black. The reason, the organizer told our investigator, quote, I can feel for some people of color unsafe. Not universally, like in your group, everyone was fine, but for some people I can feel like, oh, I don't know. Because I was white, they would feel unsafe, our reporter asked as he was led out of the workshop. Exactly, exactly, the organizer said. And it's not because you've done anything. You seem like a perfectly fine person. But it's because of experiences they've had with others. Unquote. A promotional video entitled Lessons on Neo-Segregation says that the White Privilege Conference is an annual gathering of thousands of private and public educators, students, and administrators from across the country. Their stated goal is to examine and confront what they see as systematic race-based privilege in America. The video depicts numerous Caucasian individuals referred to as white allies to provide some insight into how the organization redefines racism and bigotry and how they indoctrinate children in American schools to believe that if they are white, they are born with an unfair privilege. Moreover, the entire conference, attended by many of America's public school teachers, stresses that Christianity is not a system of faith. Really. It goes on to say, and quote, a recurring theme of the White Privilege Conference is the negative effects of European Christian culture. Christianity is presented not as a system of spiritual faith, but as an institutionalized system of social oppression like racism or sexism. unquote. And some of these people that are referred to as white allies, they said things like, the longer you are with the Tea Party, the more racist you become. 8-year-old white ally said white privilege is something that white people have, meaning they have an advantage in a lot of things. Racism is central to America. In our nation, racism, white people do not experience racism. White people can experience discrimination, but not racism. Why not? It can be done, and it's done all the time nowadays, if you look at it. If someone disagrees with the policies of the Obama administration or points out the black-on-black crime is much higher than white-on-black crime, they are often branded as white racists. If you're not a left-wing leaning Democrat and prefer to identify with the ideas of the Tea Party movement, guess what? Yep, you're a racist. Apparently, even being a Christian in America is now taboo, an instrumental part of America's systemic racist culture. It's been a long time since we've seen a sign of private businesses or gatherings that say whites only. This would, of course, cause a public outrage. But when the tables are turned and the segregation sign says blacks only, it is perfectly acceptable. Merriam-Webster defines racism as poor treatment of or violence against people because of their race and racial prejudice or discrimination. Though attendees of the White Privilege Conference claim that white people do not experience racism, the individual who was escorted out of the workshop because of the color of his skin was discriminated against solely because he is white. What would we call that? Is that racism? Probably not. According to the WTC, it is perfectly justified because other attendees would feel uncomfortable in his presence. To me, that's racism. I don't care how the left or anyone else defines it anymore, because it's not defined the way it's supposed to be anymore. But this article is most definitely racist. And I'm probably a racist. Chances are that you are too. The racism in America is so systemic and widespread that someone should contact our first black president and let him know. Now, I am old enough to have lived before bathrooms were made so everyone of any color could go into them. That is what the civil rights movement seems ideals on this have changed. Now conservative people are being accused of being racist for expressing their opinions if they don't agree with the left or the media or the president, while the old whites-only sign that was so abhorrent, which has been changed to no whites allowed, which is equally abhorrent, yet it is okay. Folks, it's still abhorrent. And Martin Luther King would be a law that America is in. It still exists. Yet, I find it exists in reverse now as to what it was 50 years ago. And it's still a bad thing. Bad, but accepted by the powers that be. And sad we have come this far to slip so far back. This whole thing is sadly what America is turning into. It's okay to racially slander a Christian. It's okay to racially slander a white person. That's not racism. But to do the same thing to a black person or someone of other minority, that's racism. Can't be done. Can't be explained away the way that Sharpton explained his racism away. No matter what he said about it, what he said, it was still racism. What is being done here is still racism. Allowing the government and the media and the left in this country, we've got to stop allowing them changing the definitions of words that we all know are true, that we all know the definitions of. But we're watching the government and all these people saying, no, what you learned all about racism and what it is wrong. We're not racist. We love everybody. We just don't want these people here. That's not racism. That's what we believe, and we believe right. I don't know, people. Every week it seems like I have more and more stuff to put on this show. More and more of this stuff is disturbing, to say the least. And I just can't understand why it's getting so hard for America to do what is right. Because it sure isn't right to allow racism for one thing and come down on another thing, another group of people for doing the same thing. Well, it can be because they're doing it now, but it shouldn't be done. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings, that's tomorrow, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week. Since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started, American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. We spend untold billions on higher education. On top of those billions, there's over $1 trillion outstanding in student loan debt that is likely to end up the subject of some sort of bailout in coming years. Dan Joseph from the conservative-leaning Media Research Center drops by the campus of George Mason University during the week of final exams to ask here and then about September 11, 2012, Benghazi attack. George Mason is a pricey public university with excellent rankings, and out-of-state students are paying about $40,000 a year to attend. The question for the day was, is that money well spent? Well, this is another thing that I forgot to download. It was an audio of a student asking if Benghazi was the name of a beer. So, education worth $160,000? They're going to come out of it with the idea that Benghazi is a beer. I don't think so. Hell, even my kids know Benghazi is what happened on September 11th of 2012, and we had 4 Americans killed there. But when you're done gagging over this one, remember that George Mason is a fairly highly ranked university. Now imagine what the answers would be at the university or community college down the street from you. This is what $160,000 buys today in higher education. Pitchforks and torches, anyone? We will be right back for this final segment of the show after these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Manna used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you, sign up today at TeaPartyCommunity.com.
And finally, we here at the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly thought of the day. I'm lucky to live in America. Yes, even though I am a white male and also a Christian and a conservative. For now, I can still do this show and express my opinions and read the stories that I read weekly with no fear, with little to no fear of reprisal from our government or anyone else for that matter. But the times, they are changing, as Bob Dylan once sang, and it's going in the opposite direction from racism that we all wanted it to do. I remember when I was young, when being white had its privileges, and I, because I was black, because I was white, could go into any place and be with anyone I chose. Now it is different. Blacks have come a long way in this country, and rightfully so. Our Constitution was written to make sure that the rule was that all men are created equal, and they are. And that didn't just include the men, it included the women too. But the disturbing part of this is, as I see it now, many, many blacks who drive big cars that I could never hope to drive because I couldn't afford them, and live in big houses that when I was a kid didn't exist for anyone but the filthy rich, and yet the ugly specter of racism and bigotry still raises its head. But in an effort to make things better for everyone except the white Christian conservatives. Now I am glad that my friends of color are allowed in the same restaurants and stores as I am without so much as a passing nod or a hello in their direction. I never see disdain for them being there, and the disdain on their faces is never there either. People talk to each other now. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what race you are. And we have pretty much moved away from racism as a central part of this country until we elect suddenly it has given rise to a new racism that, according to the liberal media and the left, is perfectly fine in America today. This racism is directed at all white and black and brown and yellow Christians who believe that God created the heavens and the earth and that he deserved to be worshipped for that very creation and that we believe in the Constitution. But no, not according to the liberal left in this country. White or black, if you're a conservative or someone who works to keep the Constitution in place as the law of the land, are nothing but racists. And I don't care what Obama or any of the liberal left say on this. This kind of thinking is wrong, and it will always be wrong in the eyes of God, and it should be wrong in the eyes of mankind. As long as we see racism in the things that others do, the problem will never go away. It will just change faces, nothing more. I've lived through the civil rights movement and all through it, had black friends and Mexican friends, and we played and did things that good friends always did. Two of those friends I still think a lot about and think of all the fun we had. We were different in color, But all three of us didn't see that. Teenagers who love doing things together and playing music and football. Color had nothing to do with it. I often wonder what they think of when they see the direction that that racism has taken here in America today. If I had their phone numbers, I'd probably call them and make up for lost time. I wonder if they ever think of all the good times we had, too, while growing up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We actually grew up in a good time to be interracial friends. We didn't care about our race. We just cared about doing things together and having fun, and then on Sundays going to the churches of our choice. Today, that would be considered racism by the liberal left. I'm so ashamed of the direction that the people are allowing this, our leaders to take us in today. And it's just like they are telling us what was wrong yesterday is right today, but it is just as wrong today as it was 40 to 50 years ago. What is happening, what is today, would have never happened back then, because we were working on getting rid of racism, and this wouldn't have been allowed, as it shouldn't be today. I still think a lot of the times about the friends that I had. Oh, no, I don't see anybody on. Oh, okay. And most of my friends, I never saw them as black or Hispanic or something else. I actually had a Korean girlfriend at the time too. But Marvin and Jose were almost inseparable. And it didn't matter that Marvin was black and Jose was Spanish. Didn't matter at all. We were friends. We went out and did things together. We had fun. The thought of race never crossed our minds. Probably would today because of how we're being indoctrinated towards it. And that's the only thing I can say about this whole thing since Obama got in office, and actually even before, but we're being indoctrinated to be racist. And that kind of thing, I think, has to stop. That hurt this nation as it goes on and on. We hope that you continue to listen to us here at Conservative Nation Media, because we work hard to bring you the truth about what is going on in this nation. But we have good shows to keep you informed and keep you abreast of what is going on here. And we all here at Conservative Nation Media want to wish everyone a happy Memorial Day. I guess that's what this is. This holiday weekend that we have, I got 4 days off this week, which is pretty cool. You know, I have to work 4 days and then get 4 days off, and then this next week I work 4 days again. So it's actually pretty darn cool. But I hope that you all have a great holiday weekend, and I hope it's safe, and that you get to do all the things that you want to do, and that the weather will appreciate that you want to do things outdoors, most likely. It's going to here. It's been really nice here. It's been in the upper 70s and low 80s here, so it's just been absolutely perfect weather, and it's going to stay that way through Monday, so that'll be great. But we have to make every effort to become an informed population, because that would be a strong one for this nation, and an informed people will never be hoodwinked by their government, as America has been today. As Ronald Reagan once said, we are never more than one generation away from extinction. I think now we are just a few years from it if we don't change direction our leaders have us going on. So continue to listen to the shows that Conservative Nation Media has for you each week, so we can be part, so you can be part of the informed public, and that will not allow the government to screw us anymore. Our shows start with tomorrow night, Michael Berryman's show, which is the old soldier of patriotism, airing 4 to 6 p.m. on Sundays. That's tomorrow. And American by Design with Bing Fisher, also on Sundays from 6 to 8. On Tuesday, we have Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance from 8 to 10 Eastern. On Wednesdays, we have The Real Radio Free America with Duke Brooks from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, we have Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky from 8 to 10. And, of course, on Saturdays, you have yours truly, the infidel behind the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. And except for the fact today I wasn't so reasonable with some of the boo-boos I had in here. But all this on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Not accept the world as I see it, because it's wrong most of the time, but as God meant it to be. I'm determined to help us to return to that recipe America made great. I choose not to sit on my couch and complain as I watch things happen. We are at a crossroads in restoring our constitutional republic. And that's what it is, folks, a constitutional republic, not a democracy. The left does not anger me. I will not give them that kind of power over me. They only bug me. We must take responsibility for our freedoms. We must secure liberty by changing reality and promoting our attitudes and beliefs. We must rid ourselves of self-defeating attitudes and behaviors and replace them with constructive ones. We must actively change culture, and that is where liberals have it over us for now. Until next week, God bless us all. God bless you all.